1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy naming names as more air traffic controllers sick out on day 7 of the government shutdown.
I want to make sure that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries know that this is not consequence-free.
The Senate tried again but failed to pass a funding bill yesterday. Today marks 2 years since Hamas' October 7th attacks on Israel that triggered the war in Gaza. This man weighing in from Jerusalem.
We have 48 hostages who are still waiting to come home. This should be the top priority.
Israeli and Hamas negotiators meet again today in Egypt. The Nobel Prize in Physics just announced in Stockholm.
John Clark, Michel Devoret, and John Martinis for the discovery of macroscopic quantum mechanical tunneling and energy quantization in an electric circuit.
American Martinis did his research at UC Santa Barbara, the others at Berkeley and Yale. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
4WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The cranberry harvest is well underway across Wisconsin, and we've led the nation in cranberry production for the past 30 years. But this year, growers in the state are projected to produce 5.3 million barrels, which is less than the 2024 harvest of 6 million barrels. Grant Hawley is the executive director of the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. He says cranberry research has changed focus a bit over the past year and a half.
Our researchers, seeing the handwriting on the wall and seeing how temperatures, the climate, not the weather, the climate is ticking its way up, they started to move those research pieces over to heat tolerances.
With the shortened season, growers are looking at an average year of production. This year was likely on the border of what the fruit can tolerate in terms of heat and humidity for prolonged periods. Holly said if this is the average climate we can expect going forward, cranberry growers will probably be okay.
If that degree keeps ticking a little bit higher and we keep getting warmer and more humidity, then we need to start to worry.
And what Holly said would cause the worry are bugs and pests cranberry crops haven't had to worry about before.
Are the cranberries going to be fine? They are. They grew up here. They're made for Wisconsin. They're not going to go extinct.
But Holly said these changes to the cranberry climate could cause a drop-off in plant production. Researchers are working to mitigate that as much as possible. But even with these challenges, Holly said Wisconsin isn't likely to lose the cranberry crown anytime soon.
We are producing about 67% of the nation's cranberries, a little over half of the world's cranberries. Are things going to get a little bit leaner? Yeah, they are. But we're not going to lose that title. Wisconsin's still going to be the home of the cranberry.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it was the bottom of the first. The Brewers already losing to the Cubs 3-0 when Andrew Vaughn came to the plate. Two men on, coverage on TBS.
And it's a high fly ball to left field. Happ underneath it in front of the wall.
The Brewers went on to win 7-3. Vaughn on what led to his 3-run home run.
You know, William gets a huge hit. Yelly gets a huge hit. You know, I was just trying to keep the momentum going. You know, have a team at bat there. Definitely a big moment. The momentum swing, that was huge.
Game 3 is tomorrow afternoon at 4:08 at Wrigley Field. NBA, the Bucks with a 103-93 win over the Heat in Miami. But guard Cole Anthony had to leave the game after getting stitches in his chin.
Yeah, he's good. It was a deep cut, but he's good. I told him when you play defense, this stuff happens.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Right now, it's 42.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Rouse.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally...
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, live from Dallas, he's not wearing a cowboy hat, though I'm a little upset about that. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Going to take care of that later on with a visit to the stockyards in Fort Worth here. Hey, good morning, Wisconsin. 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 7th. It is another beautiful morning up north. At least I'm taking it on faith that it is a little cooler than when I left. But again, on the road in Texas this week, thank you for tuning in from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all the other various platforms out there. I've got a question for you. Are you as grateful to Jackson Churio as I am for allowing me to go to bed at a decent hour last night? Because that home run, putting the Brewers up 7-3 over the Cubs, said that Parker and I could get a decent night's sleep tonight and not have to stay up for the whole thing. Right, Parker? Right, Parker? You didn't stay up for the whole game, did you, Parker?
Certainly not. Why would a person do that?
Because it was a fun game to watch, wasn't it?
It was a very fun game. It was a very happy game. I love beating Craig Counsell.
It is so good. Tony, right away on YouTube. Hey there, hi there, ho there. How about them Brewers? I'm glad that we've given Tony one team to cheer for now. Nothing against Cleveland, but he's with us full time now on the bandwagon, that's a beautiful thing. It was a lot of fun to watch. But again, not in the very beginning, because that seems to be our move now. It's become the obligatory spotting of the Cubs a lead in the top of the first. And frankly, I got to give credit to Sherry. She nails this. She said it on Saturday and again last night. She's like, that's how we play our best, it seems, is when we're chasing something. You have to chase a lead down. And we certainly did it, bigly on Saturday. And we sure did it again this time. Like how I put we in there? We did this?
Of course.
So, the Cubs jump off to a three-run lead in the opening frame. Aaron Ashby was the opener and gave up that three-run homer. And, it was a bullpen game because Brandon Woodruff is out with an injury. But after that three-run homer, you turn things over to Nick Mears, Jacob Mizorowski, Chad Patrick, Jared Kinnig, Trevor McGill, and Abner Uribe. They combined for 7 1/3 innings of shutout ball in which they allowed one hit. One. It was just a stellar job.
I think three total base runners, and all of that came from Miz, I'm pretty sure.
And Mizorowski, again, there was some drama there. He came on in the third. He threw three scoreless innings to earn the win. He hit at least 100 miles an hour on 31 of his 57 pitches. And each of his first eight pitches went at least 102.6 miles an hour and topped out at 104.3. I mean, we're all sitting there in the living room watching this, and we're like, that was 102. That was 103. That was 104. It was back down to 102 again, you know. He ended the third inning with an unassisted put out of a ground ball, which at first kind of looked like he was showboating, but then he confirmed after the game what we all suspected. He wasn't hitting the strike zone every time, obviously. And he was a little paranoid of overthrowing Andrew Vaughn over there at first base. And so he decided to run to the base himself, which
as he should have.
If I were in his large shoes, I probably would do as well, because I think we've just gotten used to the notion that he throws this heat, but he still, I mean, he's just like in the movie Major League, you know, he can't always control where that heat's going to go.
No, his command can get a little wild. They keep talking about how his problem is he falls off the mound towards the first base side. That's been the issue the whole time with him. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just am baffled that we know exactly what the issue is, and you can literally see the issue, and it hasn't quite been solved. But last night he was pretty good. He had his command in control.
Yeah, you know, enough to get, again, three scoreless innings, which, look, if he were doing that as a starter, we'd be like, why is he only going three innings again as a starter? That's why I think we've probably found where he will perform best for now.
Maybe. I don't know about... We'll get there when we get there. I don't know if I would want him out of the bullpen next year. I don't think he's quite what I envision a long relief guy being.
Oh, he's nothing like what you envision long relief, but he's getting it done right now, like you said.
Yeah.
For what we need in front of us, that's okay. And now, again, all that praise to the bullpen. Let's take nothing away from the bats. I mean, Andrew Vaughn tying things up with a three-run homer in the bottom of the first inning.
Finally getting another home run. It had been electric. Like a month or so.
And I never thought that thing was going over the fence, because he hit it a mile high.
It was a moonball.
It went out. And then, again, as I mentioned, Jackson Churio hitting his own three-run homer, which kind of, you know, sealed the deal for me. But there was also a William Contreras solo shot. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe all seven runs came on home runs. Yes, that makes sense. That checks out. Compared to game one, where the Brewers scored 9 runs and none of them were on home runs. So you never know what you're going to get from this team.
Get it done
Which is now just one win away from a trip to the National League Championship Series. So up 2 games to none. It is a best 3-5. They're off today as they move the series to Wrigley Field. And so game 3 will be held tomorrow afternoon. Pregame coverage will begin at 3:30 on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network with the first pitch just a little bit after 4:00. Again, catch it on the radio. If you've got to catch it on TBS, that's fine. But I don't know the announcers, and I miss Brian Anderson. I don't want this generic network talk. You know, Ron Darling, you know, giving you the equivalent of, yep, he really does have to throw the ball fast to, you know, make the batter strike out. Yeah. Really, Ron? Okay. Thanks for that amazing insight. It sounded a lot like that last night.
That's why they call you the league's best color man, right?
Right. So if you are in a position to sync up your radio and TV, listen to the local announcers if you can. Look, I mean, we thought we were kind of thinking this might be rather disastrous when Brandon Woodruff went down. I'm not going to lie. That's certainly what I was thinking. Like, oh, well, thanks for playing, guys. You know, maybe next year, but...
So far, so good. I wasn't quite there because there are so many good starting pitchers. Frankly, I'm still not happy with how we approached the game pitching-wise last night. I don't entirely understand why we went with a bullpen game instead of putting out Priester or Patrick or Quintana. But, I mean, I think pretty much everybody's available tomorrow. So I can't really argue with this.
No. Once you've seen the results, you go, oh, hey, in hindsight, that was genius.
Yeah.
You know? But, I wondered the same thing, too. Like, well, why wouldn't you just bump your other starters up? But I suppose whatever it is, so many days rest or the matchup with the Cubs. But speaking of the Cubs, those cutaways to Craig Counsell. And again, Craig Counsell still has many, many friends and fans in the Milwaukee area. I get that. You know, hometown kid, blah, 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 blah. the boos that rained down upon him during his mound visits were, how do I put this, delicious. I mean, just so good.
It was the loudest I think it's ever been, booing him, which made my day.
And you know what? If as he's walking out there, he's going, well, the paycheck's still cash, you know, then good on him, because that's why he did. He's the highest paid manager, or I don't know if he still is, but he certainly was at the time. So, again, that's his decision to do that, and it's our decision to let him know what we think about it. But it was a good crowd, obviously, with the playoffs, but I kind of wondered with a late start, you know, whether the crowd would really be into it. And I realize not everybody goes to bed as early as Grandpa over here, but still, you know, an 8 o'clock start is something relatively rare here in the Midwest. So.
Yeah, it is. That was very great.
Yeah. And tomorrow at Wrigley Field, well, I mean, that's going to be a different matter. You certainly did hear Cubs fans, you know, especially in the top of the first last night.
The so, one
I mean,
time
they were there. But it's not as prevalent as it used to be, where, I mean, it used to be that American Family Field, Miller Park before that, I mean, really did sound like Wrigleyville North, you know. And you didn't have nearly as many Cubs fans down at Wrigley. But this year definitely felt different. It definitely feels like more Brewers fans will make the trek down to the north side of Chicago and cheer for the Brewers at Wrigley. And I expect a fair share of them will be there tomorrow afternoon as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I think I read that yesterday coming into the game, the beat writers were saying if the game one was like a 70-30 split, this is like an 80-20 split. If that, like, Brewers really showed up. But yeah, I get the feeling that the Brewers will travel down to Wrigley pretty well. They usually do fairly well, I think. And now you really got something on the line. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, a chance to move on to the National League Championship Series without a doubt. So a lot to watch for there, of course. So we'll have more to say about the Brewers Game 2 victory coming up throughout the morning, throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then coming up across the program today, well, it's Tuesday. That means we'll have what I guess you could call our capital to capital block, where we start in the nation's capital and talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. He'll join us live to talk about the shutdown and what is he seeing as he, you know, works across Capitol Hill. Remember last week before the shutdown, we talked to him and he was in a relatively empty building for the House of Representatives, Republicans showing no sense of urgency in preventing the shutdown. We'll see how things are looking right now. Both sides appear to be dug in. Both sides appear to be, I should say the Trump administration and congressional Republicans seem to be dug in on inflicting a maximum amount of pain. That includes Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy talking about upcoming delays in air travel being likely. You'd think he'd want to avoid that, since it was delays in air travel that led Trump to blink the last time that he shut down the government. There's also talk about preparing a big bailout for farmers, because of course you've also got, on top of the government shutdown, a trade war that the president started last time around. It cost American taxpayers about $20 billion to protect farmers from Trump's tariffs. This time around, Republicans are talking about maybe a $50 billion bailout. You know, just weren't these the guys that didn't like driving up the national debt? But apparently that's what they are willing to do in this at this point. So we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County, about that. He'll be joined by Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association on some much happier news about agriculture, a sliver of the agricultural industry in Wisconsin, and that would be apples. The apple harvest is in, looking good. There's so many different varieties, and Sheila's going to talk to us all about the things that you can do with Wisconsin apples, all the right varieties for the right dishes. Oh, let me back up a step. I got to talking about the shutdown. Yes, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson in the nation's capital. What's new at the state capital? We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area all about that as he follows Wisconsin political news for us. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the latest Republican attacks on free and fair elections. And Ron Johnson shocked that he was investigated for his role in potentially overturning the 2020 presidential election. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a bit.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
When your reputation's on the line, you don't leave anything to chance, especially your primer. Painter's Trust kills primers for a smooth start, strong adhesion, and serious stain-blocking power. And now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same-day or next-day delivery, or order online and pick up in-store. Kills Primers. Pro results, faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Here's.
Welcome back. It is a little chilly up north on this Tuesday morning, October 7th. Ooh, October 7th, before I forget. Happy birthday, Mom. There we go. Won't be in the doghouse today. It is 32 degrees right now in Hayward, in Manitowish Waters, and in Tomahawk. It's 45 in the Chippewa Valley, 48 in La Crosse, 43 in Wisconsin Rapids, and the warm spot across Wisconsin. Basically, the entire southeast corner is hovering around 55 degrees right now. Tomorrow on the program, while I'm here in Texas, I'm going to be talking to a member of a group that fights for fair funding for public schools, threatened by the explosive growth of taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. It's a big, growing problem in Wisconsin. It's a much bigger problem here in Texas, where I guess everything is supposedly bigger, including the crisis facing public schools. And so we'll talk to a member of a national education group about what lessons from Texas can we take to Wisconsin. Also tomorrow, we'll talk to Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires and his new book about how concentrated wealth and power are ruining lives and the planet. But let's take a couple of minutes here to talk about the latest attacks on free elections in the United States, because despite still no evidence of widespread election fraud and a constant stream of legal rulings that affirm voting rights, far-right extremists are not giving up trying to make voting more difficult in Wisconsin. I got three examples for you. There's the Waukesha County judge, yes, Waukesha County, who just ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to check the citizenship status of millions of people on the voter registration rolls, a massive undertaking with no clear method, much less any evidence of its necessity. The State Department of Justice is asking the judge to put the order on hold for the moment to figure out what it would mean and how to go about verifying the citizenship of 3.6 million registered Wisconsin voters before the next election in February, as ordered by Waukesha County Judge Michael Maxwell. Now, such a move, according to State Attorney General Josh Call, would require a massive overhaul of the state's voter registration system and create new verification requirements that are not otherwise provided for in state law. And further, the judge doesn't explain what it would entail to verify that an applicant to register to vote is a U.S. citizen. For example, do you check someone against a driver's license database? Well, what if they don't drive? None of this is spelled out because none of it is necessary. There's no mechanism for this because it's a solution in search of a problem. It is a thinly, oh so thinly veiled effort to engage in racial profiling of American voters who don't look like, say, typical voters in Waukesha County. Frankly, it's sick. And we'll see how this goes during what will certainly be an appeals process. Example number two, there are some Republican legislators once again circulating a bill that would again ban absentee ballot drop boxes, which again have shown no security concerns. The eight Republicans behind the bill are using language similar to President Trump in their co-sponsorship memo, saying that Wisconsin voters deserve to have trust in the mechanisms and processes that our state employs in conducting its elections. Yeah, and we have that now. We've had that with ballot drop boxes that had been supported by Republicans as well as Democrats in the past until Donald Trump tried to overturn his 2020 election loss and blamed drop boxes and mail-in voting despite no evidence. In fact, the closest thing we have to an issue with a drop box in Wisconsin is from a drop box opponent, the mayor of Wausau, who you'll recall removed a box outside of City Hall that was not yet in use for the 2024 presidential election. And then third, we have Senator Ron Johnson and a story coming out yesterday as he cries out about being investigated for his contributions that were intended to undermine the 2020 election results. Now, according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Republican senators said yesterday that they had discovered that Ron Johnson and six other senators' phone data was obtained by the FBI as special counsel Jack Smith investigated the efforts to overturn the election. Johnson and the others expressed shock. Shock, I tell you, with Johnson saying, "We were surveilled simply for being Republicans." No, you weren't. You were rightly investigated for helping the guy who lost the election try to undermine or even overturn its results. You can't hide what the record shows, and the record shows that you would have been, Ron Johnson, moments away from being a mule delivering fraudulent ballots from fake electors if only Vice President Mike Pence had gone along with the plot. And just a couple of weeks prior to that, you, Senator Johnson, were holding hearings so that all manner of conspiracy theorists could trot out claims, all without evidence. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what Trump and his cronies were doing. And now you have the audacity to feign outrage. Well, let's be clear about something. It will never not enrage me that we have the pieces in place to hold accountable the people who tried to overturn an election, basically stage a coup. And for various reasons, they got away with it. And they got back in power. And they're still getting away with activities that undermine American democracy. It just leads you to wonder, what does it say about a party that is so afraid of election outcomes that it will stop at nothing to put up roadblocks to voting? It should be the thing that anybody engaged in public service wants to encourage, especially when you have a system that already has the guardrails in place for elections to be secure and safe for every qualified voter. But there are too many people in our political system today who don't want every qualified voter to vote, just the ones that they choose. On the way, we are going to have today's history lesson, including John Cougar, or John Mellencamp, or John Cougar, whatever he's going by. It's his birthday today. That and more in today's history lesson coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR. Farmers are not the only ones that are keyed in on weather. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. In fact, all of us are paying attention to what's happening with Wisconsin weather. Now, a great opportunity to dive a little deeper into the systems that help predict our weather. That story next.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
If you're into weather, then you want to be in the Madison area on October 25th for this year's Wisconsin Science Festival. It's going to offer a special weather event at the Wisconsin Energy Institute on the UW-Madison campus. WiscoNet manager Chris Bogoski is going to help people understand the behind-the-scenes of Wisconsin weather. Southern Wisconsin is home to the Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences Department, the National Weather Service, several big market TV meteorologists, the State Climate Office, and WiscoNet. And he wants the general public to know more about all of them.
We're going to be bringing all of them together to talk about all the different things that they do to study and learn more about the atmosphere and weather and climate in Wisconsin and around the world. So we'll have a weather station set up. We'll have a TV monitor so you can see how the weather gets from the weather station to your TV screen. We'll have the tools that people use in Antarctica so that they can study the weather without freezing. So there's a lot of really cool, unique things that we're going to have on display. So we're really excited for it.
Chris Bogoski, he is the WiscoNet manager, introducing the general public to more of the layers of weather forecasting that you depend on. Now, the Wisconsin Science Festival runs October 16th through the 26th, but as I said, this special weather event happening October 25th. Learn more at wisconsinsciencefest.org.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, don't forget, we've got a brand new Midwest Farm Report app available for download. Find it in your Play Store, Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly, lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Right now, it's 40 degrees.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Start today's history lesson with happy birthday greetings to John Mellencamp, 74 years old today, the pride of Seymour, Indiana. Not a bad record, pun intended, for Johnny Cougar Mellencamp. 14 top 20 hits, 30 million albums sold in the U.S., 60 million albums sold worldwide, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And 74 years old today, you know, not one of those who burned himself out too soon and is still out there kind of telling it like it is in his own way. A lot of Midwestern sense and sensibility going out there from John Cougar. Well, I haven't heard from in a while, but I don't doubt he's probably still performing out there or getting ready to. You never know when the next thing is coming along next.
No, you never do. It's hard to tell with musicians if they're just going to be like, you know what, that was enough, I'm done. Or if they are going to go on forever and ever and ever.
and some, like our next birthday celebrant here, according to stories, I mean, could have been doing a lot more, but some people don't manage their money very well or their fame. And, you know, next thing you know, you don't hear from them quite as often. And one of those would be Toni Braxton, who is 57 years old today. I did the math wrong. She is 58 years old today, Toni Braxton. On this day in 1913, the Ford Motor Company introduced the first moving vehicle assembly line, which started a whole generation of people who did one thing and did it well. And then you'd ask them, what's at the end of this line? What exactly are you building? I don't know. I just know that this goes here and something else happens, and it's a car when all is said and done.
I am way too far up the line to have any clue what I am working towards right now.
But hey, you do one thing and do it well, then the output will take care of itself. So let's see. The late Colin Cooper, lead singer of the Climax Blues Band, was born this day in 1939.
This rocket got to roll, so I hit the road and made my getaway.
Other birthdays today include Joy Behar from The View is 83 years old today. And happy birthday to Vladimir Putin, the Russian dictator. Says here he's 73 years old today. Wait a minute. I've just been handed this note threatening to throw me out a hotel window if I don't say happy birthday. Vladimir Putin, 39 years old today. Happy birthday, Vlad. And you don't look a day older than your actual 73. But anyway, do you suppose that Donald Trump sends the same kind of birthday card to him like he did to Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh, I mean...
Who knows what those notes look like, you know?
Hard to say.
Let's see. In music history, it was on this day. It was 30 years ago today that Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill reached the top of the album chart. It would give the record label Maverick, which was founded by Madonna, its first number one album from Alanis Morissette.
My sweater's on backwards and you're so wait a minute, we've already heard this. Why am I listening to this again?
What do you mean?
I swear we've had this song in the time I've worked here already.
Oh, well, that's possible. It might have been about the single rather than the album. It might have been her birthday. You know, we do a broad variety of things here. Sometimes I try really hard to make sure that songs don't repeat themselves at least, you know, too close to one another.
Yeah.
There's some detailed notes in this 365-page Word document I put together over the years on these birthdays. But now I got to go back and I got to see what other Alanis Morissette songs have I put on the calendar and make changes accordingly. So thank you for bringing it to my attention.
I'm sorry. I just remember I don't like this song.
Well, that was certainly one way of putting it. Oh, you're playing the song again.
Okay. Do I stress you out? Yes. Yes, you do.
Apparently it does for you. It very much so. The one that stresses me out is ironic off of there, because a lot of the things in the song aren't ironic. They're just bad things that happen that day. But not this particular song. But I will do all I can to make sure that All I Really Want is not heard in this history segment anymore. Because Parker Olsen,
I give you
does
one
not
year.
Like this song.
One year,
okay. One year, okay. Tune in next October 7th when Alanis Morissette celebrates 31 years of Jagged Little Pill being at the top of the album charts. The most lopsided college football game in American history took place this day in 1916 when Georgia Tech upset Cumberland University. It probably wasn't much of an upset. The final score: Georgia Tech 222. Cumberland University, nothing. How much did they hate somebody at Cumberland University? Maybe the coach was mouthing off, quarterback, somebody that you don't call off the dogs.
You know,
and you run up 222 points on the other team.
I kind of respect that in a way.
Oh, really?
A little bit. Because, you know, it was 1916. You know, like, you must have been really angry at somebody because you weren't. It wasn't social media. They must have actually said something to you, like right there.
We're going to prove how tough we are. And they did. They followed it up. So good on them. Here's another number one album. It was from this day in 1989. The album was Forever Your Girl, and the singer was Paula Abdul. Now, some albums, they climb up the chart rather quickly once released. Some debut at or near the top of the charts. This one, back in 1989, took a little bit longer. It took 64 weeks from the time it was released to hit the top of the album chart. I believe that is still the record for the longest climb to the top of the album chart from when an album was released. And that just tells me that, yeah, just little bit by little bit, as these singles were released and played on the radio, eventually people were like, yeah, I should probably get that album.
I wonder what happened during those 64 weeks. Was she still turning out music? And she was still like, hey, you should really listen to that one, though.
Maybe doing the album promotion tour ever so slowly and just grinding away at it. I don't know, but she finally made it work for her. Let's see. On this day in 1986, The Police released their final single. She's waiting. His car is warm and dry. Don't stand so. Don't stand so close to me. So this was the final single, Don't Stand So Close to Me. It came off a greatest hits album that came out in 1986. The group had actually broken up 2 years earlier, at the height of their fame. But Sting began to pursue a solo career, and they tried to get the band back together once or twice in the studio and said, you know, it's just not there anymore. And so except for a few reunion appearances, they were done. Pretty much at the height of their fame, and their last single was released this day in 1986. And another birthday to pass along. A recording date. It was on this day in 1939. That 16-year-old Judy Garland stepped into a recording studio and did this little bit of music immortality. Way over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Judy Garland recording that song on this day in 1939. As often happens in the history lesson, not everything is entertaining or featurey, but certainly worthy of mention. It was on this day in 2001 that the U.S. began its invasion of Afghanistan with an air assault and covert operation on the ground, which would start the longest war in American history. The Fox, quote-unquote, news channel began broadcasting this day in 1996. And in national news today, you no doubt will be hearing about today marking the second anniversary of the terrorist group Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups launching an attack into Israel, which resulted in the deaths of around 1,200, mostly civilians, the taking of more than 200 hostages, including civilians and soldiers. And so far in the resulting war, at least 67,000 Palestinians have been killed as well. So some of the history notes from today. The National Day Calendar, Parker is the steward of that, and we'll take a look at what do we have for national days today.
It's pretty light on the National Day Calendar, but it is National Fruit at Work Day, Pat.
Do you have Fruit at Work Day?
Fruit at Work Day. I wish I was aware of this before I made my lunch.
Look, there's no National Bring Fish to Work Day and Warm It Up in the Microwave. Fruit is a lot less annoying. You got your little, container of grapes, or you bring along, your orange slices. Hey, that's all. That's
I hear
all
it's
fine.
A big month for apples.
And it is a big month. Yes, it is. Funny that you should say that. Sheila Everhart will be along with Hans Brighton Moser coming up in our next hour to talk all about how about them apples.
How about
and what
them?
You can do with them around Wisconsin. What else we got for the National Day Calendar?
It is National Frappe Day, which is about as close as I will get to getting a coffee, frankly. When I go to Starbucks.
I know I see that on drink menus, but is that just iced coffee? Is that kind of it?
I really don't know.
Let me look it up here. It's a Greek iced coffee drink, according to Wikipedia, so it must be true. Made by shaking instant coffee, sugar, and a splash of cold water to create a thick foam, which is then served with cold water or milk over ice. It is sometimes confused with a blended ice cream-based drink like Frappuccino, but the original Greek frappe is not blended, but vigorously shaken to achieve its characteristic foamy texture.
See?
And now you know. Little instant coffee. As if drinking regular coffee were not abhorrent enough of a thought for Parker. It's the notion of, here, let's put some instant coffee on ice and put in some water or milk, shake it vigorously, and get you a foam. Really not. I'm not selling it at all, am I here?
Whatever. I'm not, I'm sticking my water,
Yeah,
that's all I need.
Okay.
All I need
that's all right. I will not annoy you about that any longer. Please forgive me. I want you to be happy.
Oh, well, that's
what
good.
Else is on the calendar today?
Oh, it's Forgiveness and Happiness Day, Pat.
Oh, well, how appropriate for me.
How in spirit.
Forgiveness and Happiness Day.
Yeah, one day. That's one thing. I don't know why that's one thing.
Actually, there is no single calendar that, only one person decides what's here and what's not. I mean, like I said before, there have to be 20 different variations of National Dog Day or Pet Your Dog Day or Happy Dog Day. And the same goes for things like this. Forgiveness and Happiness Day. I don't know what prompted this particular October 7th Forgiveness and Happiness Day, but somebody said, hey, we've got to put this on here.
Somebody was feeling a little down and they wanted to pick up their friend.
Yes, I hope so. So again, find yourself somebody to forgive and to make them happy today. Still ahead, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking to Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association about Wisconsin apples and its many varieties and how you can enjoy picking your own out there across Wisconsin's orchards. Hans Brighton of Moser will talk to us about ag issues as well, including bailing out farmers. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Beyond the rainbow,
join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are going to get into our monthly veterans update now.
That was the bumper.
Yes, I want to send a shout out to Laura. Nicely produced. Well done. That was a great one.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, how do you feel about it?
Four thumbs up
from Tom Heiser, who comes in every month at the beginning of the month to give us our monthly veterans update. Tom, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate the time. I know we wanted to start off in a certain place, you and I, just to let everybody know that October is Agent Orange Awareness Month. Encourage people to share the rose to others and spread the word about this one. I know that every year this is an important one to us and everything. I have to say on a personal note, my uncle Tim, who I lost recently, suffered from this as a Vietnam vet, and it was something that we talked quite a bit about. I was thankful to him that he was so, you know, like a lot of soldiers wouldn't talk a whole lot about his experience over, you know, during wartime, but he talked about this and really got me and my brother and my sister, many of us, up to date on the importance of knowing what our soldiers went through with this.
Right. And Agent Orange is not just related to Vietnam as such, because there are other countries. I know Thailand, I think the Philippines, they've all been included in that because, and it's not just Agent Orange. There were like seven different herbicides.
Yeah.
You had Agent Orange, Agent Green, Agent White, Agent Red. And Agent Orange was the one that was primarily used. Mm-hmm. And from a vet standpoint, what was interesting is we were told by the government mm-hmm. that this would not hurt you.
Right.
And we would spray each other with it. I mean, there's still areas in Vietnam that there is no grass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's important to note. It's important to remember because what comes first is our soldiers when it comes to this subject, when it comes to that and the idea of that. I appreciate you bringing attention to that, Tom.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
We have other things to get to. I know I've got stuff going on coming throughout the whole month of October, busy month for our VFWs.
Wait till you hear November.
Yeah, imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, Veterans, looking forward to that.
Veterans Day and all the events around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, just a quick recap. We presented the colors at the Assumption game on, for last Friday, so we've been busy. Yeah.
How'd that go?
It went very well. Mm. And thank you to the weatherman. We appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Big shout out to our weather people. Yes, yeah.
And then, we had the Vets Breakfast this morning. And also, today is the anniversary of Enduring Freedom, began in 2001.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good reminder.
And then we have the Allies Veteran Meeting on Tuesday, Heroes Cafe Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We're already to the second Wednesday of the month.
That's crazy. We are.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, yeah.
But it did.
Mm-hmm.
American Legion Post meets at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Thursday, the Rudolph American Legion, they meet at 7. The Vietnam Veterans Chapter 101 meets at 5 on Thursday. Monday, the U.S. Navy was established in 1775. So that's been around a while. Happy birthday to them.
Happy birthday to them. I always appreciate you putting those birthdays and anniversaries in there, Tom. I know how much I do, but the audience appreciates it, too.
Well, thank you very much. Love doing it. And then Tuesday, the 14th, we have Morning Joe and Doe over in Point at the Elks Lodge. And on the 14th, also, we have the Veterans Coffee in Auburndale High School.
Yeah.
And we're at breakfast this morning. Guys are already talking about going up there from Rapids.
Mm. How awesome.
So it's awesome. Big.
It's getting more popular. That's great.
And that starts at 8. However, some of the guys get there at 7:30.
Naturally.
Sure. Yeah.
They are retired military.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Listen. I don't know y'all are going to be early.
If you're 5 minutes early, you're actually 10 minutes late.
Right. Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah, so, okay. That's my youth. I thought my papa was in the room for a second there. I got a Culver's night coming up as well.
Yes, on October 14th, Culver's night from 4 to 8, and that's a Culver's here in Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a percentage of all the sales. And
it's
fantastic that they do that for us.
Yeah, because Culver's is awesome.
They get us, some money to keep us going.
Yeah.
And then, nobody gets paid from the VFW. We put it back into the community right away.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then VFW meeting on the 16th. That's at 6. And on October 20th, Women's Army Corps, they ended in 1978.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
That title, but they still...
Right. Now they're just part of everything else.
Retired that title. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. And then the Heroes Cafe on the 22nd again.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 23rd, Grenada began in 1983.
Mm. Wow. That just reading that just really took me. I mean, I was a kid, and I vaguely remember bits of that. And just seeing that date, it really stood out to me. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then United Nations Day is on the 24th. Mm-hmm. And October 22nd, the Honor Flight number 54 returns up at Wausau CWA. If you get a chance, go to that.
To welcome them back. Yeah.
Yeah. It is really, it's something to get. Family on one side of the walkway, you got the military on the other side welcoming, and then actually the military escorts the wives to their seating area.
Oh, cool.
So it's honors.
Everybody should see it at least once. It is so moving. It is so big. There are so many things that we talk about, especially when it's talking about our veterans or things involving our soldiers, and there's no words you can really put to it. You got to experience it. You got to be a part of it.
Mm.
Exactly. And then on... Going into November on the 1st, we have the state cross-country meet out at the Ridges.
Oh, very cool.
We represent the colors there. And again, on the 4th, we got the Vets Council. And then November 7th, we're getting slightly into November a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We have Vets in a Classroom. And that night, a Navy musician's called the Commodores. Now, it's not Lionel Richie.
No.
Not those Commodores.
No, it's the other ones.
But a great name for a Navy band. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then on November 10th, we have the VFW Spaghetti Feed.
Oh, it's that time of year again.
It is.
And veterans eat for free. Just show an ID, and they get to eat for free. And it's an all-you-can-eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a really good chef.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you get a chance, definitely, come out for that because
it's good.
Good, good
it's
stuff.
Worth it.
It's very good. We're not selling the spaghetti enough. It's very good spaghetti. Yeah.
And that's from 4:30 to 7. So, guys, time to take the wife out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Your turn to cook.
Nice. Tom, appreciate this as always. And always like to make sure that if people out there are listening and maybe they have
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.com, WIRI.FM, or the Civic Media.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Delays and cancellations piling up at airports as the government shutdown enters its seventh day. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We are seeing air traffic control staffing issues now several days in a row, often in places that don't typically have staffing issues, like here in Phoenix.
President Trump says he won't let lawsuits in places like Oregon and Illinois stop him from sending in federal troops to tackle crime.
We're going to make Chicago really great again. And we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities.
Demonstrators in Chicago accuse federal agents of using excessive force. Today marks 2 years since Hamas attack on Israel that killed around 1,200 people. CBS's Deborah Patta from the site of the Nova Music Festival.
The main memorial is being organized by bereaved families and not the government, reflecting deep division over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's leadership.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.